We'll open with the first Rashi on the parsha. The first Rashi in the parsha begins. The first Rashi in the parsha begins. The first pasuk says, "V'daber Shem al Moshe Lemar, Tzav es Aaron v'espan of Lemar Zeis Teres Oil Hi Oil al Mikta Amizbech Halal al Bakar Reish Tamatukad Boy." So we had the beginning of the parsha, which begins with a commandment, which means. There's a chiv that Baruch Hashem is giving to Aaron and his children about the oila, about doing the karbanis. Tzav es bnei Yisrael. Zok tehi l'gir Rashi. Ein tzav ela lashon zeros. Tzav is a lashon of zeros, which means you're hurrying them up, making them do it with alacrity. Zrizos miyad ulodayis, from now and for all generations. Amar Reb Shimon b'yosid tzarach akasul lezares makom sheish bechasaron kis. And Rashi says a cryptic idea, a thought here. It says Amar Reb Shimon, "B'yaiser tzarach hakasid lezares," that the pasuk has to give an extra zeros. The benchman has to give an extra zeros. Ari, let's try to keep it clean. In B'makarim, that there's a chesar and kiss when there's a loss of money. So there's an idea from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky that he says over here, but we're going to go with Reb Shimon Schwab. Reb Shimon Schwab has a nice thought here. He's talking on the word of tzav, which Rashi says is ein tzav el lashon zeros, and says miyad ulder. So it's basically telling them to do it with focus, do it with alacrity, do it with a geschmack, from now and for generations. And he says that that sometimes there's going to be a chesar and kiss. Chesar and kiss means when there's a possibility to lose money, or when there's money involved, then it has to be a special tzivoy, right? That's what we brought. Rashi says that tzar chakas lizar is when we say lashon of tzav when there's a possibility of money. So Reb Shimon Schwab says that there's two times. Two different types of scenarios that played out, once in the first base of Mikdash and once in the second base of Mikdash, of issues that Klal Yisrael had with their commitment or their ability in Karbanis. By the first base of Mikdash, he brings down a pasuk in Yeshaya that says basically that there was so many Karbanis, and there was very fatty and beautiful and nice Karbanis that were being brought. And the pasuk Nishai says that basically the Baruch Hashem is saying, I don't need all that. I want the intent behind it, the true real intent behind it. Meaning that people came to a point that people were very comfortable by the first base of Mikdash. They were able to spend and buy beautiful karbanis, and that's what they did. But the Baruch Hashem is saying, that's not what I want. I don't want you just to spend money and just to check off the box that you brought the nicest, most fancy karban to me. The Baruch Shalom wanted the essence and the connection from everybody, and that was the zeros. That was the first issue with the type of chesar and kiss, when there's a loss of money, meaning when there was a expenditure by the first base of Mikdash, when they went overboard and they weren't really behind what they did. So the Baruch Shalom says, I don't need your fake karbanis that didn't mean much. And then by the second base of Mikdash, he brings down a pasuk from the pasuk is in Malachi, and basically they didn't have any money then, and they were struggling, and they basically started bringing these subpar let's see, there's probably a way that I could cross you, get you out of here. Here, there we go.
That's evil.
You've been trying to do that for a long time.
No. I just see him eating meat off a picture in the middle of a shear. That's unique. Anyways, moving right along. So he brings down from the pasuk Malachi that says they didn't have money at the time of the same Beis HaMikdash, and basically the Klal Yisrael reverted to bringing these subpar karbanis. They weren't bringing the nicest ones. They were bringing the older and the things, and because they were saying, what does it make a difference? Hashem, a carbon is a carbon, so I'm just gonna get whatever is easiest. And Hashem was saying that I don't want you to give me your cheap junk just because you have to bring a carbon. If you're not doing it right, then don't do it at all. And basically, Reb Shimon Schwab is saying that you need to have both factors. You need to have the kavana behind what you do, which is critical. If you do something without kavana, without the proper connection, then there's not much of a feeling. It's just a facade and a fake show. But equally as important, you also have lamaisa. If you want to do something and you're very sincere about something, but you end up doing a garbage job, or you end up doing is everyone okay? But you don't end up pulling through and actually doing something about it. So then your lamaisa is also failing, and you need to have both parts. You have to have the kavana and the right intentions. You also have to have a lamaisa. You also have to have a proper action. And I think that's and I think that's what Rav Shimon Schwab is explaining this Rashi. When you have tzav, when you have a zeros, that's miyad ul-daris, from now for all generations. That there's times that people have more, there's times that people have less, and in both those situations, you're faced with the struggle of being true and being honest and being sincere in your avodas Hashem, and not just because not just basically going through the motions. And there's times where it's more difficult, where you have to push yourself to actually give the best to Hashem. I'm trying to remember. I feel like I just heard a story, but people were saying that, especially now when a lot of people are struggling with money, with jobs, with a lot of issues. So a lot of people are basically cutting back from their own personal expenditures that they might be able to do, and instead they're using that money for other people who are literally struggling to make Pesach. And that's a perfect point bring out here, that you could say, yeah, it will be fine, I'll give a couple of bucks to tzedakah and people need it more now. Or you could say, no, I'm not going to have what I normally have. I'm not going to go all out, and I'll be able to help other people even more. So we have to always balance those two ideas, and that's all in the first Rashi. They have the zeros, that tzav is telling you have to do something with the right geshmak and the right alacrity. It's for now and for all generations, because all generations will be faced with this test of having this balance of having the right machshava and having the right lemaisa as well. Yitzhak Goldberg, was that just testing? Unmute yourself.
What?
Lower your hand, or Yitzhak, you're good? You're good, okay. No, Yitzi just raised his hand. I wasn't sure if he had a question or he was just itching. No, that's not what I meant, Dovi. Anyways, or Al-Khanan, or whoever else is laughing. Well, whatever. Anyways, and this is being recorded for the Yeshiva's archives. Just throwing that out there. Moving, sure, I probably should have said that from the beginning, but anyways. Moving on later in the parsha, we have, one second. We have an interesting parsha. Zayis teras zevach hashlam shiyak l'Hashem im al toidei akrivenu v'hikar av zevach ha-toida. So we're talking about a carbon toida, and it says chalais. Matzis blues b'shem rukiki matzis mshuchem b'shamim. It says that you have to bring these. We spoke about this, I think, also last time we got together. This idea of having the mincha without the sa'ar shebi'isa, without the yeast or whatever. So similarly, you have these also these matzis that you had to eat with this thing. Al chalis lechem chametz yakivu karbanai al zevach toida shlomo. So this is Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Yud Gimel, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Aleph, whatever, etc. And we know that the Taida, you had to bring 40 chalais. There was these 40 loaves of bread that had to be eaten with the Taida. And furthermore, the Pasuk says, this taida that you're bringing, this carbon of thanksgiving. So you have to eat it on that day, which is very unique, because a normal shlamim has a 2-day span of eating, and this type of shlamim called the taida, Thanksgiving shlamim, you had to eat it on one day. So So the Netziv says a very geshmaka thought here, which I don't know if I've said in the past, but it's a famous var. And he says that this person brought a carbon, and maybe it's even late in the day, and he's faced with the fact that it's a shlamim, so most of it he gets to eat, and he has these 40 loaves of bread that he has to eat, and that's a lot of bread for the average person to have to consume and to eat in a short amount of time. So the Netziv says that the way that this person could easily accomplish that goal is to invite a lot of people. And if he invites a lot of people, then they'll help him eat the ta'ida, eat this carbon within the right amount of time, within that day. And he says that that's exactly the point of this thing. If someone has a ta'ida, someone has what to say thank you for, and someone has something to be grateful for, so it's very important to have the first step. We could do like a social one of these also. That's fine. But for now, let's just try to stay focused for all you non-pen holders. So the first step always in a taida is the idea of recognizing the good, recognizing the source of the good, understanding a good thing happened to you. But lemaisa, critically or just as important is the idea of sharing that thanks amongst other people. And that's what the Netziv is saying, that the Torah is giving you situation where you have a lot of food to eat and very difficult to do that yourself, and therefore invite other people, and then you could share that taida, that taida is thanks, and you're giving thanks for whatever you're bringing that taida for, and that's what you have to, and that's the mile of that is that you're doing with other people, you're sharing the thanks, and you're expressing the hakar sataiv, not just between you and Hashem privately, but in a public way, that you're recognizing publicly the hatava that was given to you, the thanks that was given to you, which is generally a very important aspect to recognizing good and thanking people. When someone does something good for you, or someone, you know, even if it's a very big thing, someone says, you know, whatever the thing is they do for you, so you could say thank you privately, but it's much more meaningful even for yourself to say thank you in a public way, in a way that everyone's around and everyone's there, and you say, you know what, this thing that happened to me was from this person. This person was the one that did it for me. So that's much more of a understanding from your part that this thing came from somewhere else, and it's much more humbling in a way experience, which is the mila, which is actually a key process of being makar tayv. Being makar tayv is saying it wasn't coming to me, I didn't deserve it, it wasn't my thing, and the Rebbeinu Shlom or whoever it was did this for me, and I'm thanking that person. And the more you spread that, the more you're quote unquote makayim the idea of saying the thank you, of being makar tayv. And we know the critical aspect of being makar tayv, which is one of the innate midas of Klal Yisrael, and that was one reason why the Amon and Moav were not allowed to marry in, because they were lacking this idea. And the point is, like we explained, that the sheresh of hakar satayv is understanding the root and the source of where everything's coming from, and that's obviously always goes back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you don't have that, if you're missing that, then you'll never be able to go back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You'll never be able to understand that every breath I take is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and every minute that I'm alive is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's a critical trait that Klal Yisrael has. Another answer given to this question, basically the question is that we have this unique carbon taida, which is a type of shlamim. Shlamim normally is eaten at 2 days, is eaten at 1 day. You have these 40 breads. It's a lot to do. What's going on? So the Chiddush Arim gives another reason of why it was eaten, why the carbon was only eaten on one specific day. And he brings down from the the bracha of Maidin that we say every day. It says, Anisecha shebchol yom imanu, on the miracles that happen to us every single day. And this is what we say three times a day, that basically it's critical for us to, first of all, recognize the nisim of every day, and second of all, give thanks for the nisim that happen to us every day. Yesterday's nes is yesterday's nes, and that might be something you should carry with you and be thankful for as well, but don't forget that there's a nes happening right now, there's a nes happening today. And that's what the Chiddush Arim says. The fact that it was given to you for 1 day, that you have 1 day to eat it, is to focus on this is today's nes, and there's a nes today, we have to be thankful for today's nes, and tomorrow's going to be another nes, and every day is a nes. That's another idea of the ma'idim that we say when we're thinking about Kadosh Baruch Hu, we have to recognize that it's a daily occurrence and not something that we should take for granted. And not when one big huge event happens in our life, which obviously we also have to be thankful for, but that's not like a one-time, one-and-done nace that happened to you. It's on the sechach shabchal yom one on the sechach of the sechach shabchal ace, and that's what we're thanking for. Okay, so let's review that. We had a question, and we had a question of why this shlamim of a taida is different than other shlamim. So we had the nitziv that says that we want to publicize, we want to bring a bunch of people together, and that's one way of dealing with haida and thanks and taida is the more people are around, the better, and that's what we wanted to accomplish. And the Chiddush Harim's Teretz, which said that you have to focus on the daily. And then we had the first thing we said on this week's parasha, which was the we quoted from the first Rashi that says that tzav is a lashon of zeros of doing it with a geshmak, with a quickness from now and also for all generations. And also he throws in the idea that has to do with money, with losing money. And we brought down from Reb Shimon Schwab that says that there's times you have a lot of money and you might lose the kavana behind something, and there's times you might have less money, you might lose without the lamaisa, and those things always have to be balanced. You have to always, whatever you do in your avodas Hashem, you should do it with the proper intent and also with the most lamaisa that you could do, and one shouldn't come at the expense of another just because you might have an abundance of one at a certain time. Okay, that is that. Anyone have any thoughts or questions on the and the parasha aspect of this? I want to unmute you guys so I could only unmute the people that
Okay. Oh, I'm not muted.
I think you have to do it yourself. Why isn't it letting me unmute
you? Yeah, you sent like a command or something.
Send a request.
And have the option.
That would be creepy if you could choose if right. My microphone was on, if you could hear what I'm saying. That's creepy.
That's no. Not true. You're on here. Like your option.
Why? It says unmute here. Let's see if I can do that. Let's see. Unmute audio.
You could send a request too.
Even if you mute, you still could. I could still unmute myself. I could still unmute myself.
Who's AH?
Ari Hagler.
Oh. Hi, Ari.
Hi, Robbie.
How you doing?
What was that?
Someone got a buzz.
Yuri, how was that?
It's very good. Thank you.
Okay, we'll discuss a little thought that's not fully developed. It's not fully developed, but it's a nice thought that I was seeing basically from the Nesiva Shalom. Alrighty. Welcome.
The Panta Panta.
Welcome.
We're going to share an idea that we're going to say on the Haggadah. I'm going to mute everyone if that's okay. And basically this idea is a very nice idea, and you guys can maybe go a little bit further to develop it yourselves a little bit. But this idea basically explores the connection between Pesach and Shabbos. So this is basically from the Tziva Shalom, and he starts with a question. He brings down from Midrashim, from Gemaras, he brings down a few stories where we find. So I don't love the question, but I still think it's important to ask the question to bring out the point. But he says we find a few times that Klal Yisrael was faced with insane odds or terrible oppression. He brings down that there was a war with 370 million soldiers when I don't remember who was fighting against Ashur, against Melech Ashur. This is by Chizkiyo when he was against Melech Ashur. The Midrashim say that there was 370 million people. Because the Pasuk says that 185,000 people were killed, and basically that's referring to the commanders, and each one of those commanders were commander of 2,000 people. So if you do 2,000 times that, then it comes out to 370 million people. And then there's other things of Sichon and Oeg, which were very big incredible events of Klal Yisrael's triumph, and yet there's nothing that they're not even mentioned in anything that we do. There's no mitzvah to remember that. There's no mitzvah to do anything zuchars, that the Rebbein Shem delivered us from these crazy odds or etc. We don't find anything like that. But Lamaisa we find, as the Rambam says, mitzvahs asay shel Torah. There's a mitzvah asay, and this is one of the there's a few unique mitzvahs that we mentioned that take place on the night of Lel Seder. But mitzvahs asay shel Torah, lesaper benisim and eflais, to say over the incredible nisim and eflais shenas lavisim mitzvah, and happened to our forefathers in mitzvah, b'leil chamisha asa benisim, on the night of Pesach, shenemar, as the pasuk says, Zachar es hayoim hazeh, remember this day, asher yatzasam in Mitzrayim, that you went out of Mitzrayim, kimoi shenemar, just like it says, Zachar es hayoim hashabz dekatshay. So we have the Rambam that tells us the mitzvah to remember, to say Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, and go over, recount the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. He says that mitzvah is from the pasuk of Zachar es hayoim hazeh, asher yatzasam in Mitzrayim, remember the day you went out of Mitzrayim, just like kimoi shenemar, Zuchar es hayom Shabbos lekatcha. Remember the Shabbos and sanctify it. So we see that the Rambam very clearly links these two together.
Where's the Rambam? Zach
and Shabbos. This is the Rambam. Yes, this is the Rambam. Tichas Chametz Umatzah Zayin Aleph. So we see that the Rambam's linking these two things. Just like we have to do Pesach, just like Shabbos. Interesting. Okay. And furthermore, as we all know, the pasuk in Vayikra says, when we say Sfir Sa'imer, so the pasuk tells us, Usfartem lechem, count to yourselves, mimachras hashabbos. And we know that was one of the most famous arguments that the Tzedukim had with the Chacham and what the definition of Shabbos is, but we darsh the Gemara says very clearly Shabbos means Mimachas Yontif, from the day after Yontif, meaning Yontif is Sunday, Monday is day one of Sfiras Ha'Omer, as opposed to the Tzedukim that says Shabbos means Shabbos and doesn't mean Yontif or whatever. That was that whole separate Machlekes, and that was a big catastrophe in Klal Yisrael, and they would, the Tzedukim always wanted that Yontif fell out to be on Shabbos, so then the Machas of Shabbos would actually be Sunday, etc. But that's not our argument. What we see, Lamaisa, as Chazal tells us very clearly, that the word Shabbos, count for yourself, beginning of the day after Shabbos, the Shabbos does not mean Shabbos. Shabbos means Pesach. So again, we see very clearly the Torah itself, not the Rambam, the Torah itself calls Pesach some sort of Shabbos. So this next part is something that I've seen many, many times. With various levels of connection, let's put it that way. Sometimes I've connected this idea and this thought more than others. But I think the way the Siv Shalom brings it out, he explains it very well, so just bear with me. And that is the idea that there are many gullus in the Klal Yisrael has gone through. There are many very, very difficult times in Klal Yisrael's history of gullus and persecution, etc. And this is the one. You see, Mitzrayim is the one, is the most important, the seminal point in Klal Yisrael's creation. Klal Yisrael went out of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. That was the birth of Klal Yisrael. That was the beginning of Klal Yisrael, etc. And he brings down from Gevurah Hashem, which is the Maral, the Maral Sefer Gevurah Hashem. He says, He brings down that when the Haggadah says, Avadim yinu l'parei b'mitzrayim, we were Avadim t'parei, v'yitzienu Hashem l'kenim misham b'yad chazak v'zirtua. This is the answer to the questions. We say, we were Avadim t'parei, Hashem took us out b'yad chazak v'zirtua, with this outstretched hand, with a strong hand and outstretched arm. V'ilu lahaitzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu es havesein v'mitzrayim, and if Hashem wouldn't have taken us out, harei anu v'neinu v'nei 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 v will be, you know, still Meshubah to Pari Mitzrayim? And this is something that's a famous question. You know, what does that mean? Forever, the Darius will always be Meshubah to Pari Mitzrayim. And the famous answer given, which is the point that I was telling you that, you know, sometimes I connected more than others. The morale says that meaning, why is the Shibud of Pare, he brings out, the Nesiv Shalom brings out a little bit more. Why is the Shibud Pare stronger than what happened by Nebuchadnezzar? Why is it stronger than what happened by Titus? Why is it stronger than all these other times? So he said that he brings that from a Pasuk. The Pasuk says in Bereishis, in Tesvav Yud Gimel, it says, V'yemer Lavram, Yodea Teda. This was the beginning. This was the Rebbein Shalom telling Avram that there's going to be a Galus. You should know, ki geri yezarecha, your children will be foreigners, ba'etz le'lehem, in the land that's not theirs, va'avodum, fi'inu oisam, arba me'eshanum. So there's two double lashons that are going on this pasuk. First it says, yedeyate, ki geri yezarecha, there will be foreigners, ba'etz le'lehem, in a land that's not theirs. Right, that's what that means. If you're a foreigner, then you're in a land that's not yours. Why is the pasuk repeating that idea? And the second doubled lashon is the fact that it says va'avadum v'inu isam, which is lashon of va'avadum is there'll be avadim, there'll be slaves, v'inu isam, they'll also be oppressed, which is also double lashon. Slaves are oppressed. Slaves is not anyone's opportune situation, and being oppressed, excuse me, is a normal tetzah of being a slave. So why is that double lashon? So first it says that there'll be a ger in a land that's not theirs, and also it says va'avadum v'inu isam. So he says, he doesn't seem like he's quoting here anymore the morale, but he explains that that the idea is that there's two types of shibudim that were happening over here. Akiva, it's great to see you. Or it was. There's two types of, Chassan Dinan. AY, if you want to impress anyone, listen tight, and this is impressive stuff I'm going to say right now. All right, you'll blow people away. Just a quick recap of what's going on. I just basically showed the Rambam connects Shabbos and Pesach by saying you have a chiv to say over CPC some time. AY, you with me? You have a chiv to say over CPC some time, just like you have a chiv to remember Shabbos. And I'm saying this one more time only, Rafal, bear with me because I'm starting from the beginning of the shtickle. It's a nice shtickle. We'll say it once. So the Ram says, compares Shabbos to Pesach, by saying you have a chiv to remember Pesach, have a chiv to remember Shabbos. Rama puts it together. And we have the fact that the Torah itself calls Pesach Shabbos. You start counting the Torah from the day after Shabbos. And then we started discussing the question of the morale's question, which is why is this the event? There's a lot of shibudim at the class. So I went through Nebuchadnezzar and Titus and Avadim Yinu. We say Avadim Yinu will still be Avadim. If Hashem didn't take us out, we'll still be there for all generations. And that's what we're holding. Basically, we brought down a pasuk. The pasuk in Bereishis says that when Rabbi Shem was telling Avraham that there'll be slaves, so he said a double action. He says there'll be ger in a land that's, there'll be foreigners in a land that's not theirs, and he said that they'll be slaves and they'll be have hardships. That's also a double action. So what's going on? So Zarek didn't see Shalom, a famous teretz, but he's gonna bring it out here, which is the idea that there was two critical points of this enslavement, and those two points. The second point more was entirely unique to Mitzrayim. And that was, it was the fact that they were enslaved, and there was the fact that they were gerim, that they were foreigners and they were being enslaved. But the other fact was the fact that they were in the place which was famously known as the Ervas Haaretz, the place that was the spiritual wasteland, the place that Kishuf and this dark magic and this Kayach HaTuma had free reign. And that was the unique aspect of the Shibud. Yes, Klal Yisrael was in many other difficult, challenging Shibudim under Nebuchadnezzar and under Titus. And even if they were in a low spiritual plane, but they weren't being attacked or head on attacked from a spiritual point. And I think it's important to note that even though we know famously the difference between Purim and Hanukkah, and Purim they wanted to destroy our bodies, and Hanukkah they wanted to just take away our Torah, even there when they were going into the Torah, the memshal that we were under, the Yvanim, even though they were Hellenistic and they glorified body and Gashmi, and they were the Spitz, America, sorry to sound yeshivish, but the Yavan wasn't the seat of Tuma in the world. It wasn't known to have an incredible amount of empowering, encompassing Tuma. We know famously that no one ever escaped from someone's having a lot of fun. No one ever escaped from Mitzrayim ever, and the reason was because they had this black magic that kept everyone from ever leaving. And that's what the Nesiv HaShalom is pointing out, that this Shibud was unique in the fact that they had this incredible Kayach HaTuma, and so much so that it was impacted Klal Yisrael to the point where Klal Yisrael was damaged spiritually to a point that they never had been damaged spiritually before like that ever, and they never have been in that point again. The Memtesh Shari Tuma, which is the really the end game before complete oblivion. 50 is the ultimate, or the shlemus, or the complete of anything. They say 7 is teva, right? So you have 7 times 7. So you have all teva mixed together till you have all those kaiches. Then you have the one above that. 50 is always the one above. It's the 8 as we know. 8 is l'malim derech teva. So 50 is the 8 on steroids, because the 7 kaiches of teva that you had, each one use each other. That's 7 times 7, and then you have the 50, which is above that. So we were right there. We were right there. The one time in Jewish history that we were completely drained from basically all spirituality and all connection to the source. What does that mean that you're drained from spirituality? What does that mean that you're in the Memtesh Shari Tuma? You're in the 49th Shar HaTuma. What does that even mean? It means that your connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu is nearly completely severed. The Tuma and Tara, what is that? That's just being close to Kadosh Baruch Hu or further from Kadosh Baruch Hu. When you're close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's Tara. When you're further from Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's Tuma. And when you're all the way there, that means you're nearly by Karis. Karis is being cut off. That means your connection or your source is Karis, and that Klal Yisrael as a whole. So Nesiv HaShalom explains that's why the geula of Mitzrayim was different than all other geulas, and he explains that generally the way that it works. I'm not sure if he brought down a makar. One second. He just says from the Svarim HaKadoshim. The Svarim HaKadoshim. One second. It's from the Yeah, so what I said before of the 49 levels, that was from the Kajnitz Magid, but he says from the Svarim HaKadoshim that the general mahalach of the Rebbein Shlom's geula is gradual. The Rebbein Shlom gives kedusha, 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 and slowly builds you up, which is the proper way, because that's a way that can be contained and it can be sustained. If someone just gives you a 500-pound weight and says, here, hold it, so you'll be crushed in a second. But if I give you 1 pound, and the next day I give you another pound, the next day I give you another pound, yeah, after 10 weeks, you'll be able to hold a massive load because it's slowly building up, and you'll be able to contain it and hold it. And that was a big one of the challenges that Klal Yisrael faced was this fake level that they were given. But anyways, so he says that this gula was different because the Rebbein Shlom had to come by Yitzienu Hashem Mitzrayim. This is also part of the Haggadah that we say that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Loy de malach, loy de sraf, loy de shliach. The Rebbein Shlom didn't take us out through any medium, through any shliach, through any other person as he normally would, but rather the Kadosh Baruch Hu b'chvoydiv atzmai. The Rebbein Shlom himself came b'chvoydiv atzmai. And later in the Haggadah, we also say a pasuk that says "Vayetzienu Hashem Mitzrayim," which is from a pasuk in Dvarim, and the Haggadah says "Uvmayir Gadol Zugil Shchina." When it says "Uvmayir Gadol," that's talking about Giloy Shchina. Any questions? So again, we have this uniqueness of Shiva Mitzrayim, which was draining Klal Yisrael's ruchnius almost to a point of being completely cut off. Therefore, the Rebbeinu Shlomo had to come with such a fell swoop, without any intermediaries, without any gradual building up, without any slow process of us being able to handle it. But Rebbeinu Shlomo had to come b'chvayd v'atzmai. When we say in that gada, b'mayra gadol zu gilu shchina, the Rebbeinu Shlomo had to have his incredible gilu shchina. Once you have a gilu shchina, once the shchina is galui, it's revealed, then obviously there's no force of tumah that could stand in the face of that, and it dissipates automatically right away, like a puff of smoke. So that is the process of the geula that Klal Yisrael went through by Mitzrayim, that they had this incredible ruchnius challenge, and then the Rebbeinu Shlomo dealt with it by having this gilui hashchina, this show of shchina that kind of destroyed all ruchnius. And then Steve Shalom says that's what we find, a similar concept by Shabbos, and he brings down from the Zohar, a well-known Zayar that most of you might actually say. And he brings it down from the Rishis Chacham. The Rishis Chacham says also Shabbos, he brings down from a Navi. The Navi says, Ubo bim aris surim bim chaylais. Okay. Basically, he brings down from the Zayar. The Zayar says, when we say in Kagavna, a lot of us say every Friday night, Kagavna. Kagavna is from the Zayar. And the Zayar says, Ki ayal Shabta, when Shabbos comes, and he continues and he says, "Ish aras b'yichud." Excuse me, b'yichuda din hiru kadisha. That in the feminine term, that she remains with this din hiru kadisha, with this holy light, hiru kadisha, this holy light. And then the end, we say, "V'chosh shutani rugzin umar didina," and all. Negative forces and forces of retribution, kulu arkin v'sarmira. They all get uprooted and they all run away from there. So we see that basically what's happening in Shabbos. That Shabbos comes, the Zohar says very very clearly. If you ever look at the translation of what's going on, that Shabbos comes. There's this incredible gilui shchina. There's this nihira kadisha, this holy light, and that automatically dissipates all the. The sources of tumah. And I was thinking also a few times you find this concept that they have this light when a kedusha comes and there's a light. We find when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, there was a spiritual light that filled up the house, and I didn't get to finish this. Maybe we'll get a little bit more. We'll talk about this idea a little bit more. But I was thinking that my understanding of this pshat is that there's a famous concept, Kabbalistic idea, that in the beginning of things lay the kayach of the whole thing. So when you have the beginning of something, then there's a massive potential, and that causes a huge light. That's the entire ruchnius potential of the item, because ruchnius, our whole being alive, quote unquote, is our connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu, which is the Mekar HaChaim, right? So if you're connected to Mekar HaChaim, so then you're connected to that light, quote unquote. That I'm saying light doesn't mean a light bulb. Light means a spiritual energy. So our nefesh comes from a spiritual energy. So I was thinking that when you have the beginning of things, there's the whole spiritual energy of that item is in the beginning, and then throughout that time it just used up that spiritual energy. So it could be by the Yetzias Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael was being born as a nation. There was this incredible connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which brought this incredible Gilui HaShechina into Klal Yisrael's essence, and that destroyed, you know, the Kayach HaTumah that was there, just by having that massive connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu and the massive spiritual connection. And Shabbos also, we know famously, Shabbos is the Mekar HaBracha. Shabbos is the Kayach for the whole week. All Kayaches and success lay within the Shabbos. As we say in the Chadaydi, Kihi Mekar HaBracha, it's the source of the light. And Chazal talk about it at length. And Rav Shimshon Pinkus is famous for discussing this idea of saying that the Shabbos is the Mayan, is the well for the week, and all the successes and strengths and kaiches for the week come from Shabbos. So that's what we're saying here, that the beginning of things, and that's also could be why Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was born, he shined up. Didn't say that he shined when he was 8, all of a sudden he started shining in his face. When he was born, there was this massive spiritual energy that came to the world. It's a massive spiritual energy, and that's our Shabbos. Our Shabbos is a massive spiritual energy. On Pesach, there's this massive spiritual energy that's coming down, and that's what we are hoping to connect to. I think we'll stop over here. We'll just go over this idea quickly. We find that there's a connection between Shabbos and Pesach, the Rambam, the Pasuk. We brought down why the Shibud Mitzrayim was unique in the fact that we say if we would not have gone out, we would still be Meshubat Tepare. Obviously, it means why still Meshubat Tepare Mitzrayim. There's been many times that Klai Yisrael has been in Shibud. Why are we talking about specifically the Shibud? So we answered that there was that Kayach HaTumah that existed that didn't exist anywhere else. The idea of being drained spiritually that didn't happen in any other Galus. And the way to get out of that, the only way that we were able to get out of it in that situation was when Baruch Hashem blasting us with this massive connection all of a sudden of Ruchnius, and that was the birth of Klal Yisrael, and that automatically destroyed the Kayach HaTumah that we had, and also brought us to the highest levels of Ruchnius. And that's what we're saying with Shabbos. The Shabbos is that. Spiritual energy that comes in for the week. It's that burst of connection that we have on Shabbos. So we're connected to Kosh Baruch Hu. All the tumah flies away. You're in a intimate relationship, as Chazal tells you. You're in an intimate relationship with Kosh Baruch Hu. That's one of the pshatim. They say, why say tzitzchem l'shalom on Friday night? Because you tell the malachim to go out. It's just you and Kosh Baruch Hu. There's no room for anyone else to be here. And ship's nice, start writing. And that's what we're saying. Shabbos is also that moment of spiritual clarity and connection, and that's what Pesach is exemplifying. So I give you all a bracha that we should cash in not only on this massive burst of spiritual energy that happens on Pesach, and we know we've spoken about many times. We have a chiyuv. It says b'chol dar v'dar chayv adam liris is asma kilu yatsam mitzrayim, that he has his own chiyuv, a personal chiyuv, that he has a chiyuv to look as if he's going out of Mitzrayim. Shenemar v'aysanu haitzim misham, and we were taken out of there. Now, based on this explanation, it's a much simpler thing. A lot of people, you know, have the minhag of throwing the matzah, walking on the table. That's one aspect of the shibud, but seems to be based on what the Nesiv HaShalom is saying, that seems to be the lower aspect, the smaller quote-unquote aspect of the Shibud, because that happened many times. And we're still in the middle of some level of Shibud, and there's been, Klai Yisrael has been slaves and been beaten and been damaged many, many times. But the unique thing over here isn't the wasn't the physical aspect, was the spiritual aspect. And that's something that we obviously can all relate to. So we say, how are we supposed to look as if we went out of Mitzrayim? Well, on that night of the Seder, when there's a spiritual energy, then you have to kind of try to tap into that. And we know that Klal Yisrael, a little bit down the line, failed by the Egel, because they were given, like I said, you know, when you dump a massive load of weights on someone, they can't handle it. And it's much easier when it's a slow process, because you actually, you know, your muscles are ready for it, because, you know, you did 1 pound at a time, 1 pound at a time, until you're actually ready to handle it. But Lamaisa, when we have that situation of being connected or trying to connect to a spiritual energy on the night of Pesach, we have to know that. And I've heard this multiple times from different people on this idea that Pesach, you're given the ability to connect to the highest levels, but that gives incredible challenges, because it is at the end of the day an artificial level that you didn't really earn and you didn't really work for. So therefore, when you try to connect and you try to say kilu. When we're trying to be Mekayim, Chol Dov Dor Chadim Liris Atz Mekilu Hu Yatzim Mitzrayim, as if he himself went on Mitzrayim, the idea is that we will try to connect as much as we can to the spiritual energies, and we will also have a game plan to deal with it the day after Pesach, or maybe, 5 weeks after Pesach when we're still in quarantine, and who knows where we're holding, we'll have some sort of, ability to still keep to and connect to those levels that we committed to on the night of Pesach. And that's an opportunity that we have on a slightly smaller scale every Shabbos. When Shabbos, you're given a spiritual when the Rebbeinu Shlom comes and there's a connection with you on Kadosh Baruch Hu, and everything is muted, everything's quiet, and you're there, quote unquote, in this intimate relationship with Kadosh Baruch Hu, and you could sit down and say, you know what, this week is going to be a certain way. I'm going to connect to the spiritual energies of the Shabbos and give us a bracha that we should use the school as best as we can.